There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emmett Mann. Rate, review, subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like and subscribe there as well. Joining me today, fresh from her trip to SLC, Salt Lake City, All-Star Game, to talk that and along with the Toronto Raptors. Hello, Katie Heindel.
Hello. Fresh, but not fresh. Let's put it fresh, that way.
Yeah.
Fresh as in newly arrived back home, not fresh as in how I feel.
When you got off the flight, were you like, home? Or was it like, this weather?
No, you know what? I mean, like Salt Lake City cold, but it was very like bright and sunny every day. But like when we flew in yesterday, like the sun was kind of setting down, but we were so high that you could see the sun like into layers. Mm. And like we did that thing where, you know, sometimes you come in from Pearson, just like Mississauga side, and you don't see the city. We like swooped around the city and I had a beautiful view of downtown, like straight down Yonge Street. And that part of me felt very like emotional. I was like, oh yeah, Toronto's pretty cool.
They don't normally do that.
They don't normally do that. No. So I appreciated it.
Cool views.
Yeah, cool views.
So, All-Star, give me your 3 to 5 best moments. And before this, I was talking to Katie about this, and she's like, oh, you want, like, you know, the best moments from the All-Star festivities?
Didn't know.
No, not that stuff. The game was terrible. The only good thing was Mac McClung, really. I want your random, obscure, Katie-specific best moments. So, please, tell the people.
Okay. Well, I will say one of the greatest things about All-Star, especially in a small city like Salt Lake City, is you literally don't know who you're going to run into and when. Mm-hmm. So multiple instances, Allen Iverson in the lobby of the media hotel, flip-flops, walking around on the phone, like just sunglasses doing laps.
On. Yeah. Sunglasses on?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sunglasses, sometimes on, sometimes off. Yeah. They also had a water and apple cider station in the lobby of the hotel. So it was very endearing to see past Hall of Famers helping themselves to apple cider at all hours of the day.
Why apple cider? Am I missing something?
From what I understand, because it's a heavy Mormon state.
Okay.
If you are like strictly Mormon, you cannot have caffeine. So you'll have like, there was also alternating hot chocolate and apple cider. So they did not have like a coffee carafe. It was just, not to say none of the Hall of Famers, I'm pretty sure, are Mormon, but I guess when in Rome type situation. Right. There was one night when I was going up to my room to change, to go out to dinner. And there was a Hall of Famer. I was like, who is this? I'm not sure. Had a handfuls of like mini chips bags and like a pop. Had obviously just gone on a snack run and was like turning in for the night. Didn't know who it was. Like couldn't place him. Got off on the same floor. Was like, oh, he's in the room next to me. And then it wasn't until I was checking in for my flight home when I had to airdrop myself jankily. Airdrop from my phone to my computer, my passport to upload it to United. That I almost airdropped it to Spencer Haywood, who was next to me all weekend long. I will say, what are some other highlights? More like game related highlights. Probably Pascal's tribute to Shaq, which I took as a tribute to Shaq's camcorder at Vince Carter's 2000 All-Star Game. Pascal showing up with a camcorder to this past dunk contest. Not Vince Carter's All-Star Game. Vince Carter's amazing dunk contest. Pascal showing up with a camcorder in similar fashion. I really got a kick out of that. Mm-hmm.
The dunk he's making contest, content too. The obviously. Red Bull. He's making content, right?
He did. Dunk contest. No surprise. Highlight for me. I thought actually I liked all the dunkers. I kind of thought Tyrese actually got a bit shortchanged. I think Mac was great to win. Yes. But Tyrese is like one of those like very fluid dunkers that like makes it look so easy that he almost, it's like a disservice to himself. I held that
the DeMar
stupid
problem, right? The DeMar problem.
Exactly. Yeah. I later in the night held that stupid 3D printed ball, and I will say slightly lighter. So it's not surprising to me that that drunk dunk.
What else did you do?
Went a little bit awry. What else do I have? Probably seen Burna Boy in Utah, literally last place on earth. I thought I'd see Burna Boy as a Burna Boy fan for the first time. He was great. Yeah. Amazing.
Everyone in that halftime performance was terrific.
Yeah. That's definitely. I will say Nikola Jokic's media, all-star media availability. I didn't realize the thing I had quoted would like blow up to the extent it did of him just saying.
Oh, it did. Yes.
I'm like, yeah, I guess we all feel that way deeply. We want our birthdays to go fast because making us being older is sad. But everything Jokic does and says, I realize, and he's not intending this to be the case, is just so funny. It's just the funniest thing. Yeah. Like someone asked him, oh, do these mics work better? You know, when he broke the mic. And then he like was like, yeah, they work better. And then it broke. someone was like, do you want to be MVP? And he was like, sure. But then he was like, I'm just saying that because last time I said no and everybody got mad. So like, he's our most like perfect kind of tragicomic character in the NBA, and I think we really need to embrace that. Shea's coat at his All-Star game post-game presser, everyone's talking about that, but he also had like a vintage Louis Vuitton. It wasn't even a briefcase, it was like a suitcase because it was much bigger,
right?
Like a square suitcase. Carried it in. Someone asked him, what's in that? And he's like, nothing, absolutely nothing. Just wanted to carry it.
I just wanted to hold the bag. It's about fashion. It's not about, you know, utility.
What else do I have? Oh, the last, I have an honorable mention. I would say that Charles Barkley, who maybe had imbibed a little bit before the All-Star game, but just coming right out and saying it during the All-Star game that there's nothing to do in Utah. All these people are going to heaven. Because while that maybe wasn't my experience and I did somehow find myself out late most nights, it's true. It's like, you know, it's a quiet city. Very beautiful with the mountains, but very quiet. It definitely did not have as much room service as Shaq did, though.
They just sit inside drinking apple cider.
Yeah. But how's that for you?
That's perfect. That actually is probably, that's actually better than any festivity, anything that happened within the All-Star game. It was better than the skills challenge, better than the game. Everything you just said is terrific.
Thank you.
And you interviewed Vince Carter.
Recently. I did. I interviewed Vince Carter, right before I left, actually, which that's was so cool. Great because I could just bring it up casually in some of the other interviews I ended up doing. Like I just got I've got like a direct line to Vince.
Yeah, exactly. Just tell people like, oh, so I talked to Vince Carter the other day, and to them like, oh, so she says it that casually.
I
that
did. I was like,
she speaks to people like this all the time.
Yeah, I did an NPR interview my last day in Utah, and they were like, asked me about the dunk contest, and I was like, oh, Vince really hated the wheel. And I was like, that sounded just like he did tell me that, but it sounded like he had just texted me that after the dunk contest or something.
Pleasant times, even though the game wasn't great and everyone's now talking about how do they fix the dunk or the
pretty
all-star
game
and everything. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I don't know how you make players compete. I think it's just sort of in them. They decide if they want to. I don't think $1 million to each person is really going to do much either because everyone in the all-star game is making lots of millions, many, many millions. So I don't know. Maybe, it is what it is. New crop of players perhaps will make it more competitive. I don't know, but you know, when it was competitive, you had players who were very competitive in the game. Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, like guys that actually care about every single win or loss. These guys, they just want to make sure that they don't get injured. And I understand it too. I get it.
I think you could just shorten the game. Honestly, it felt so long. Shorten the game, and toss in some outliers. Like, get yourself a Kyle Lowry. There isn't anyone like him, but get somebody in that game who's going to like do something non-all-star game, like e.g. play defense, because it throws everybody else off. And that makes for actually a more interesting game because you're, everything is so rehearsed and repetitive and you know it's going to happen. So when you've got at least one person in the game not playing like that, it makes a world of difference.
It does. Okay. That's enough about that. The Raptors are back. The Raptors are back. They play tomorrow against the New Orleans Pelicans, and this is kickstarting their hopes and ambitions to get into the top six. I feel like we've been talking about that for many months now, but Fred VanVleet yesterday said, you know, I think we can do it. Absolutely. It's going to take a lot of work, but we can do it. We can be that team. They got to jump a lot of teams. But before we get to all that kind of stuff, I guess just has your confidence level changed in the Toronto Raptors since the Jakob Poeltl trade, which has helped them? And actually what we've seen over the past two games, I say two because the first game, he didn't really play much. Past two games has actually been where we're seeing Jakob, you know, make the impact that we thought he might. So has it changed anything for you this season? Also like the Raptors in the future?
TBD this season.
TBD, yeah.
The last game, like the last three games that we saw Jakob Poeltl in, did feel like difference makers, but I think that is with the understanding that it's been like crawling through a desert with this team and it was kind of like being in a mirage, right? Those last three wins with Jakob. So now to be seen whether or not that it is a mirage or this is like we've hit a place of lasting sustenance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that I'm very curious to watch in these next 23 games of the season, just to see what happens. What is staying? How are roles going to change on the team? What does this mean for guys like Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, guys whose Gary Trent Jr. too, like guys whose names were up at the trade deadline? Does this clarify roles? You know, like, does this clarify rotations? What is this going to do for Nick Nurse? So that's the kind of stuff I'm keen to watch because I think more than where the team ends up at the end of this season, it's more clarifying to the direction that they're heading in for next season, which I think, you know, like you and I have been hitting on pretty hard whenever we've talked throughout this
clarity
season. Clarity and direction. Yes.
And that's part of the reason why I think, you know, they made the trade is that Masai, and he's mentioned this, he said it during his end of trade deadline presser, which was tedious and, you know, kind of intense at points with some of the questions that were being directed towards him. But I mean, the takeaway is that he believes in the core of the team. And he kind of said, you know, I got to see what they look like with an actual rim protecting big. And the roles you mentioned, that clarity, having some actual increased depth now, because I would imagine Gary Trent Jr. is going to go to the bench. You got Precious Achiuwa coming off the bench. You got some real juice coming off there, and that's going to help alleviate minutes for some of the starters. And in the end, like, I mean, people want to talk about the draft picks and stuff like that, but there isn't that many mobile rim protecting bigs in the NBA. And now you have one of them. And, you know, last year, probably the price was a little bit too high for the Raptors and they didn't want to do that. They probably would have had to sacrifice Gary or someone else, and they didn't have to do it here. They, you know, lost three draft picks and Ken Birch, but you have your guy. That spot is settled. It's very good. Even like the past three games, they're plus 5.4 points scored per 100 possessions and minus 30.5 points allowed per 100 possessions. Both of those when Jakob Poeltl's on the court. Now, the defense, obviously, that's going to even out. It's a very small sample size, but I think it just shows that, you know, he's third in contested shots in these past two games too. That means something. You're addressing something that's been a problem for a long time. And now you can actually say, okay, OG, Gary, Fred, you're going to know at the end of the season what you want to do and who is the best fit for your team. And that is really important to me. I think that means something.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think like the price, if we want to say, it's less like the price, obviously, but obviously the front office wasn't going to make a move to give too much up. But I also think there was like a bit of a price crunch. It was like, well, we need this right now because we didn't get this the last opportunity we had in the summer. We thought we didn't need it. Look how we've suffered pretty much through the first three quarters of the season. We got to set things right. So generally, I'm just glad that they picked one of the myriad problems that they had and have like seemingly dealt with that. We'll see how that clarifies or has a trickle down effect into some of the other problems, which I think it naturally will. But yeah, that's still a big TBD in terms of who you're moving off of this summer, because I don't think it can be, I don't think everybody can stay.
No, no, for sure. And the reason why I think Masai and Bobby were so uncertain of what to do is that they didn't want to hang in the middle. They didn't want to be the Chicago Bulls. I'm not sure what they really did. Like, they didn't get better. They didn't get worse. They're just like, we're going to be probably in the play-in tournament, and that's who we are. And we're going to bank on these three all-stars of ours that haven't actually played that well together to figure it out when it hasn't worked so far. So you don't want to be that. And I think Masai and Bobby knew that. We can't be that. So where are you going to go? Are you going to go double down? Are you going to go become sellers? And they decide that we're going to get ourselves a protecting big, and we're going to see what happens. So certainly they're kicking the ball down the can here, or kicking the can down the court.
Down the road.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Kicking the ball.
Kicking the can down the road is what they're doing.
The ball down the court works.
That's
in
true.
Basketball sense. There you go.
I could see Jokic doing that sometimes.
He did do that a couple times in the All-Star game.
He did. Yes. Okay. So I mentioned those numbers, how the Raptors are better with Jakob Poeltl on the court. The starting lineup of Van Vliet, Barnes, Siakam, Achiuwa, and Poeltl, plus 23.7 point differential in 85 minutes. The two opponents, Orlando, Detroit, okay, but there's something there. And I think it just shows how much that team needed. This team has needed someone like Jakob, but moving towards the offensive side of the ball, Fred having a pick and roll partner has been very, very helpful. And the Raptors have needed someone. It's been like a little process. You know, we started with, okay, the Raptors have to do more pick and roll. And then they started using Scotty there. And that was good, but it wasn't clicking the way that you probably wanted to between Fred and Scotty. And also you want Scotty doing other things because he's so malleable and so versatile. So they needed someone else. And now they have Fred and Jakob, and it's actually been pretty good. So what are the advantages of having something like that? A good pick and roll.
I think for me, again, the most the thing I'm most interested in is sort of like the trickle down impacts of having somebody like Jakob Poeltl on the floor. Like, he's going to give you a bit more spacing, and he's going to be the one that's kind of taking the knocks around the rim. So it doesn't have to be a Pascal, a Scotty, you know, like a Precious if when the two of them are on the floor together. It frees them up to shoot, you know.
Sure.
It helps. I mean, it helps with your second chance points, which have kind of been like your bread and butter through the season. Though Jakob Poeltl's like straight up shooting has also been a great help thus far.
Love so that, like, those floaters.
Yeah, fingers crossed that sticks around.
Yeah.
But I mean, I am most interested in seeing what this does for Fred VanVleet, because he seems to be the one that, for whatever reason, this season has had a few slumps.
Yeah.
And his role in his future with the team has lost some clarity. So I think this will actually like ease things up for him.
Yeah.
And I hope it allows him to kind of double down with the team.
Yeah.
And for the team to double down with him, because I look around even in the off season and I don't really know who else you're bringing in at that point role. You never know. Like, you know, people become available, moves happen in the summer that are always surprises, but it would be my hope that he can still, you know, forge ahead with this team. It's also like someone like Jakob, who he is familiar with his playing style. You know, I think that's why the two of them have been able to click so readily and easily on the, on the pick and roll side of things. And Jakob has like matured and gotten better, just like Fred has in the time that they've been apart. So I hope this is something that makes his life easier and we will reap the benefits of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's spot on. I mean, the lack of clarity, we talk about clarity. I mean, Fred's role with Scotty, you know, his ambitions to be a point guard, it just makes it a little bit murky. Like, how does Fred fit into it? But if you have a pick and roll combo, now that means something. Even the past two games, we're seeing in the first game, you know, Fred goes for 26 points, 8 assists. The Pistons are playing drop, and Fred was hitting mid-range jumpers and shot 6 of 13 from 3. The volume, like a lot of shots, maybe 26 shots is a little bit north of what you'd like it to be, maybe around 23, 22 or whatever. But in the end, it worked. And then fast forward to the Orlando game, and I'm sure they're thinking, okay, we gotta stop Fred here, and they trap him, and then Jakob Poeltl goes off for 31, and he has 6 blocks and 9 rebounds. Like, there's something there that is going to help the Raptors have easy offense, you know, possession by possession. And when your first couple of possessions don't really go too well, and within a shot clock situation, you can always go to this, and you can trust those two guys to just figure out a way to get offense out of it. And that is really important. The Raptors have struggled so much just getting good offensive looks, and he makes it so much easier. With Fred being a shot maker and Jakob being able to hit those floaters. Those are beautiful. I love those. And also, he's a passing big. Like, who doesn't love a passing big? It's beautiful to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So
not me. Yeah. I don't not love it.
I enjoy it.
I like it.
Yeah. There's versatility, and that's really important. The Raptors, like, they were trying to, you know, imagine ways they could have more versatility with this 6-9 lineup, but it just turns out perhaps that the most versatility you can have is having traditional players in traditional roles.
Yes. I mean, like, the argument for that is, as long as you kind of have a couple fixed anchor points,
yeah,
it does free you up to have, like, because versatility, it's like almost like, I don't know, think of gravity, or like think of like the solar system. You have like fixed points, and then you have these other bodies that can kind of swing wildly around them. I think if you don't have those fixed points, then everybody is just like very unclear on what they're doing at all times. So you add a couple of those in, it gives everybody, I'd say, room to almost like be a bit more creative. So
sure.
Interested to see how this plays out.
Yeah, sure. And I actually like Jakob's creativity too. Even when he doesn't have the ball, he's not involved in the actions. He has a way of navigating space on the court. Like, there were cases in the last game where, like, Malachi, he's going baseline and Jakob, you know, rolls from the one side of the block, the weak side, to the strong side, and he gets a little floater out of it. It's like those intuitive things that he's able to do because he's been in the league for a little while. That's so important. And with the Raptors, their spacing limitations, which, I mean, we all kind of know, not a lot of three-point shooters in their ideal starting lineup. Although I want to shout out Pascal Siakam, who is shooting 40% on catch and shoot threes in the last 15 games. So there's a pretty beautiful uptick there. That's pretty damn good. But in the end, you need, the spacing is going to be a problem. And Jakob being so smart, knowing how to just be situationally aware, is going to be helpful for them to maintain that spacing. But moving on to, well, Nick Nurse's rotations. Because now that everyone is healthy, and that was said yesterday, Nick Nurse said, all right, we got everyone here. OG is going to be back. Gary's going to be back. Dad's going to be back. I would imagine their starting lineup is going to be Fred, OG, Pascal, Scotty, and Jakob Poeltl. Those are your starters. But now, off the bench, how does this work? And you got to, like, think about the players you have and also the situation you're in. You need to win games. You got to win a lot of them. So we might be talking, you know, shortening the rotation. But in the end, like, how does Nick Nurse figure this one out in terms of players off the bench? Tricky.
I think I think their bench has gotten a lot better. Like, I think you actually now have some reliability in your bench. If you even just want to play a bench unit and just like try and do it traditionally in terms of like who you're switching on and off, right? I like Gary. I think Gary has like dug in this season and really done, you know, like, he was criticized early on, and since then I think he's dug in and done everything that's been asked of him. It's obviously a little bit of a, he might think of it as a regression to come off the bench, but I think he's going to be so valuable there. Same with Precious, right? I would love to see a lineup with Precious and Jakob, actually. That would be fun. I think we're going to see some of that where you have, like, you know, you're going to like pop these guys in, pop these bench guys in with your starters to give some of your starters a breather, which is another important point, right? You don't want them having to play upwards of 42 minutes again.
No.
I think you have the bench you thought you had all season long. There's still some questionable spots. Like, I don't know how long you want to put Malachi Flynn in for, right? I don't know if you can do straight up subs in that capacity, but I actually think this has kind of clarified things. I hope it would clarify things for Nick Nurse. We'll see. Yeah. Like, he can still, you know, he still has like a fondness, let's say, for maybe mixing things up. in his rotations when it doesn't seem like he really needs to. But I think if you're looking at a play, whether it's going to be play in or the Raptors can secure like one of the last playoff spots, I think you're looking at like some decent rotations and availability throughout that. And we're being realistic. This is more to look toward what the team's going to look like next season.
Certainly. These are good problems that Nick has. He was asked about it yesterday and he's doubled down on this many, many times, but he's like, I would like to play my starters 32 minutes. That'd be great. But also I'm trying to win games and the bench production just hasn't been there. So it is going to get a bit better with Gary and Precious there. I like the idea of a lineup of like Scotty at point guard. Like you mentioned Malachi Flynn. I think when the Raptors are fully healthy, I don't think he's really part of the rotation. If you already have like Gary and Chris and Precious, and probably that plays a bit of minutes here or there. I think I don't really see a spot for Malachi. There could be a case where maybe they're struggling from three or something like that. But in the end, I think you do want Scotty playing those backup point guard minutes, which we're going to get to this in a second. But I mean, Scotty's role has changed quite a bit since Jakob got here. And you need to make sure that you're making him as impactful as possible. The past two games, he's been really good. But at the same time, like he's just, because he is so versatile and such a heady player, he's finding ways to make an impact. But I would like to see the ball in his hands more. So if you're rolling out a lineup of like Scotty, Gary, Precious, Chris, and OG, you know, like that could be a bench unit and that could be bench / starters, but that lineup could like roll for 6 minutes or 7 minutes and they could actually be positive. And during that time, Fred and Pascal aren't on the court. How nice is that? And you give them some time to get to gel a little bit. But I also do like the idea of Jakob and Gary playing together. I mean, Nick said it yesterday that it'd be good to tap into Jakob's passing a little bit and doing more dribble handoffs and letting him be like a high post passer as he was in San Antonio. And Gary, that screams Gary. He'd be such a good release valve in situations like that. So a lot of options. I mean, maybe Wancho. You know, Wancho is a great cutter too. Maybe Wancho gets an appearance because of the chemistry he can form with Jakob Poeltl. But yeah, there's a lot of options. I just hope that this means that Fred and Pascal are going to be reserved for, you know, the peak times, first quarter, fourth quarter, obviously, and they get their minutes in the second and third, of course, but their minutes get to like 35 minutes and it stays there and there's reliability in some lineups that don't feature them too.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. Just reliability generally would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because like when you've got your bench unit out and they're actually just like making things harder for you and stressing everybody out, you're not coming. you're Pascal and Fred and you've got to rest like a few minutes, but you're not coming in like feeling super confident. You're coming in feeling very stressed out and like, geez, we really got to dig in and catch up here. So to not have that, to actually have restful minutes that are restful for your starters. That would be good.
Man, I'd love to see Pascal when he's actually a little bit fresh in the fourth quarter. Every time we see him over the past, I mean, however long, man, months now, fourth quarter comes around and he just kind of fades away. And I don't think it's because of a lack of presence. I think it's a lack of energy because he's in minute 38, 39 on the night. And the guys that he's going against and he's getting the best defensive matchups, they're fresher. And he's just not simply there. Yeah, a healthier version of those two down the stretch would be mighty helpful for the Raptors in this stretch where they're trying to get into that top six. But as I mentioned, Scotty Barnes, so his touches per game have gone down by 12 in the last two games with Jakob Poeltl. Again, these are good problems because you have a lot of good players. However, you know, Scotty, he's got to keep developing. He's got to keep developing. And as I said, he's done a good job, right? He's into the free throw line, 17 free throws over the past two games. That's pretty damn good. That's a lot. The Raptors need that. And just finding space in the court has been always an asset of his. And he's kind of actually reverting back to the role he was in last season when the no plays were being run for him, but he was just finding an area to capitalize on opportunities, whether it's like, you know, attacking closeouts or just finding space on the court and just being a release valve. Like, it's all good, but how do the Raptors ensure that they're getting the best out of Scotty Barnes?
I would argue what you're saying is like a detriment to his development is actually good for it because I don't think that's just going to come from touches. I think like some of his development right now, I think some of his frustrations can be alleviated by realizing that his role to be versatile, sometimes that's going to be taking a backseat. Sometimes you're not going to be the primary ball handler. Sometimes it's not going to be in your hands as much. You're going to, as you said, like be a release valve or be an outlet or just be like a kick out, you know, part of like a kick out in some of these offensive schemes.
Yeah.
On the defensive end, I think it actually will make things easier for him too. As I mentioned earlier, like he's not going to get knocked around so much because you've got Jakob there. And one of the critiques of Scotty Barnes from coaching staff, and I think that we've had this season, is sometimes his aggressiveness, you know, and his decision making. And to just commit, whether or not like you're committing to a move, like maybe you commit and it backfires, but you still have to commit. Like you can't be afraid to commit because you're like, oh, maybe this decision doesn't work out. Like decision making in basketball only gets to the levels that we see, you know, the really good kind of like steely court geniuses make because they've made mistakes in the past. So again, I think it's not the worst thing to have Scotty Barnes back up off the ball a little bit. His main frustration seems to be in not winning games, right? And he said that before, like he hates losing games. That's something that like really affects him on a personal level and like certainly on the floor in his gameplay. So he should be happy if they win games and it's not all like thanks to, you know, him like taking and making the shots. I think that's just as important to a young guy's development.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fair point, right? Because of how great those spots are when he is very, very good, you know, those games where he's putting up 25 and, you know, like 10 rebounds and 5 assists, like those are some incredible numbers that, you know, only a certain level of player can get to. But in the end, you also need to ensure that you're keeping perspective where he is in his career. And also I do want to see him continue to hone his point guard skills. There are still some things that he has to improve on, his jump shot being one of the bigger ones, and also his ball handling. But he's able to be a decision maker in this kind of role. And I think he is, it's like when players talk about they're injured for like 20 games or something like that, and they say that I learned so much just by watching. I think it's similar to that he's going to learn so much just from being an observer at points and being able to time your cuts and knowing when to go and finishing around the rim. Like these are all things that are going to help him become the player, you know, much better player that he wants to be in like 3-4 years, whatever. When he's 27 years old, these reps now in this role within the Raptors, where he has to be kind of a do it everything man and just find ways to impact the team on offense, it's going to help him. And defensively, I mean, I'm happy that it seems like he's a little bit healthier than he was earlier in the season. And if he just continues to, you know, just be decisive in his defensive presence, I think it's going to help him, you know, be better on offense too. The Raptors want to run, right? Get in transition. And he's one of the best at it. He's a freaking transformer when he's running down the court. Like he is very good. And that could be somewhere again, where he's able to, you know, be that spark for them.
And like, I will say, and players talk about this too, like the biggest improvements happen in the off season, like happen in the summer when they're doing runs, when they're at camps, when they're working with their own trainers, it's because that's when they have the most time to actually work. They're not just doing team practices and they don't have like a game every other night or back to back. There's not a lot of time to actually change your skill set in the regular season. In the off season, when you have time and you're doing it every day and you can kind of go back and like looking at tape is important, but to actually have time to reconcile all that tape and to say like, sit and look at it and think like, okay, here's what I need to do. But like now I actually have the time to improve it. Like that is when you see players have like the biggest kind of leaps and bounds when it comes to their skill set. And like capabilities. So I wouldn't, this next like stretch, I think it's going to be very helpful also for Scotty to see what a connected team looks like, because you have previous relationships that go through that, like run through Jakob Poeltl, Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet. And honestly, Scotty hasn't actually had that with this team since he's become a part of the Raptors, because you had a lot of people leaving. So I think that will be helpful too.
You learn through mistakes. If everything's hunky-dory, how much are you learning? But this rep in this season where it's been so up and down, and he has 5 points and he has 25 points, and that's the nature of the Raptors offense, the nature of his role at points. It's going to help him become a more consistent player. I will bank on that. But now the Raptors want to get into that top six, apparently. And, you know, a lot of the teams that they have to jump, the Wizards, Hawks, Heat, Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets are there. Those are the teams between 5 and 9. A lot of them have tough schedules too. And as I said earlier, Fred believes they can do it. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I am cautiously optimistic. And I think we'll learn a lot from the Pelicans game. Granted, it is going to be still a process. Now you're bringing OG and Gary back. So it's almost like in some ways you're incorporating two more players, but you also have Jakob Poeltl. So there is going to be a bit of a process here. But I think that if they're able to find some consistency, have a good defensive floor, which I think they will because they have Jakob now, and they're able to get a reliable second unit, it could happen. It's not impossible. Maybe I'm being a little bit too optimistic. I could be. 4.5 games isn't nothing. You got to leapfrog a lot of teams, but I think it's at least fair to say that they'll probably be in the play-in at the very least. And we'll see what happens with the top six.
I think they got to approach it incrementally. You can't really look at leapfrogging like who's like 3 up from you. It's like, let's approach the team immediately ahead of us, because this gap that had seemed to be just stuck all season has finally widened even in the middle of the standings. So
it has, yes.
I think to catch like the Hawks, kind of in shambles, like a very, I don't understand like a mid-season firing of Nate McMillan when it's like, I don't know that you can place blame on him, but you know, Trey doesn't have the best track record with coaches right now. So I think you're just trying to appease your star in that case. What I mean is that's not a team that I think the Raptors should be that worried about. I think they can catch them pretty easily. The Nets are kind of in a similar situation now that you've jettisoned, you know, like your two, they were actually playing pretty well. And then the trade deadline has really reset that. Yeah. So there, a lot of the teams that the Raptors now have to catch have their own internal problems. So if Toronto can stay, I think, focused and just look at it as like a one game at a time situation, not get too ahead of themselves. Don't look at it as like, well, we've got to make it to the sixth spot. Just like one game at a time, one win at a time. Just that can be very momentum building. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And see where you end up. But be realistic about it.
Yeah. Cautiously optimistic is what I'm going to say. But that could all change after
absolutely
the Pelican game
be
where I go back to.
Yeah. Because again, it's like you've had like a season of not, you've had a pretty dismal season. So it's fine to be optimistic now. Because if you have a reason for it, like just embrace it. Take it. Yeah. Be optimistic.
In the end, like the Raptors, I mean, I think this move was in the bigger picture, a smart one. The picks that I mentioned, you know, it is what it is. A 2024 first round pick that's 1-6 protected. Okay. A few second rounders, you can recoup those probably during the offseason, because like we mentioned earlier, there's going to be some movement. I don't think they can afford to keep all of them, all the guys that could be up for new contracts or are looking for a change of scenery. So you could get some of those back then, but you have a rim protector. You have one. Let's be happy about that. We're early in the process and we're still seeing, how helpful it is to everyone. I don't think Vision 69 is necessarily dead, but I do think that they probably realized that there has to be some tweaks along the margins. And one of them probably is like they needed a rim protector. 3-point shooting is still a hole. But I hope that, you know, Precious and Gary moving to the bench is going to help them get better offense over the course of a whole game. You know, they're going to struggle from three. They're going to have games where they shoot 35%, then it's going to be 29%, and it's going to be like 11%, whatever. But your defensive floor is better. You have better, well-rounded talent throughout your entire roster. And we proceed.
We do.
We proceed. That's a song by Common, right? We proceed. Proceed. I think it is. Anyways, Katie, closing thoughts?
See what happens.
Anything coming up?
Let's
anything
see
you're excited
what happens.
About
for the team?
No, you.
Oh, me personally?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I'm still excited about the piece I wrote for the New York Times magazine about the dunk contest.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So you can read that at the newyorktimes.com.
Who are they again? I'm joking.
Yeah. Who are they?
That's prime time.
Yeah, that feels good. Otherwise, nice. Like, I don't know. When I look around the league, sorry, I didn't know if we were at plug time yet. That's why I plugged it. But closing thoughts on the league, I think it was a deceptive trade deadline. It didn't seem like too much happened. But I think like the main players, like the West is very unclarified to me. I think it's in the crazy. East, like you've got the Celtics have just been there all season.
Yeah.
And will continue to be. But in terms of like who's coming out the West, like these next few games, 23 games are going to be pretty exciting, I think.
No question. It's going to be very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. That was actually the root with the song Proceed, not Common.
There you go.
I was thinking of a different
song. Glad
you
Googled it.
Yeah, I did. I had to clarify because I'm like, wait, I don't think it was Common. Anyways, thank you everyone for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe everywhere. YouTube, podcast platform. Have a good day. Hopefully the Raptors beat the Pelicans.